Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 138 of the Interviews Podcast. I am one half of your co-hosting duo, Gianmarco Paterno. Alessandro couldn't be here today. Obviously, if you hear me speaking first, that definitely means Alessandro is not going to be here. But we have my personal favorite guest to have on to fill in for Ale. It is the one, the only Nick Diani of Kicks and Picks Pod. Brother, how are you doing?
Doing well, man. Good to be back. I feel like it's been a little too long. I've had a couple things come up where I haven't been able to fill in, but happy to be back. Break this game down. Take a look at our outlook. I'm sure you have a lot to say about the upcoming match. So let's do it.
Let's dive right into it. You know, we get Cagliari today. Normally not an easy match for us. They seem to, you know, kind of give a little bit of a hard time. Not saying that they are, you know, beating us, but they don't make it easy for us, right? We jump out to a 2-goal lead, which was awesome to see. We did the same thing though against Parma, and we saw how that ended. So a little bit of a fear there, and like, I mean, we're both hockey fans, right? The 2-goal lead is the worst one in maybe not just hockey, but the sports, I think, in general. But a brilliant goal from Marko Arnautović to kick it off, followed by an amazing pass by Marko Arnautović that allowed Lautaro to chip Caprile there to give us that 2-goal lead. It was a great start. And then, of course, in typical Inter fashion, right out the gates in the second half, Piccoli gets one back, who has been their leading goal scorer for Cagliari. And he was a guy I mentioned in the last episode that I thought would be a bit of a, not a trouble, but, you know, he would be the threat really up front for them. And the fact that, you know, Atalanta owns that player and don't really utilize him is kind of crazy to me. But we got we put it away with a bullet of a header from Jan Bisek and ended up winning this game 3-1. Let's go in the first half. Nick, what did you see in that first half there?
So maybe the most impressive two goals from a side that kind of walked through 45 minutes. Like, I don't really know how to put it any other way. I felt like every time I looked up, Cagliari had the ball and Inter was kind of okay with it, but absolutely clinical with the chances that you guys had. And that's something you're going to need for the rest of the season. That's something that's been lacking a little bit this season. I think you started off incredibly well. You know, Thuram and Lautaro on fire. I feel like every season kind of starts that way. And then all of a sudden you go through this little period where the chances are there, but the goals aren't. This first half, chances were at a premium, but the goals came. So that was encouraging for me.
Yeah, no, I have to agree like 100% there. It felt like we were a little bit like in second gear the entire first half, not really, you know, pushing it too much, but like you said, making the most of our opportunities. Even the Arnautović goal, you know, like it was a ball that came off his shin initially and he just fired it roof of the net with his left foot. Normally he'd probably sail that over the crossbar. I think today, you know, he just was on one, and it's crazy that, you know, based on how he played with us last year, to see now that he is our best choice off the bench and he can start, you know, these games against lower to mid table, you know, teams in the league. I think that's huge for us, because now you're allowed to rotate, give Thuram or Lautaro rest. But great goal there. And then the ball that he played to Lautaro, probably the best pass he's ever played. I mean, granted, I don't know every pass he's ever played, but that's probably the best one. It was so perfectly played.
Fair to say for sure. I think you made a good point. I'm almost wondering if he has finally mentally gotten there where he recognizes his role. He recognizes where he is in his career. He just looks a lot more comfortable out there, if that's fair to say. A lot more relaxed. Yeah. And that's something he's never looked that way for 35 years of his life. So to see it now, I think it's a good thing. And I was really kind of hoping that seeing the first half that he had, maybe like Thuram would see it and, I don't know, be the kick in the ass that he needs to get back going. I guess the jury's still out on that.
I mean, I guess, you know what, maybe he'll be able to do that against Bayern on Wednesday, right? That's I think that would be more meaningful to us as fans. But yeah, no, it's great to see that after an 18 years of Arnautovic's career, he's finally maybe figured it out exactly what his role is and how to best play for the club. So thrilled with the way that first half started. You know, there was actually a chance before that second goal that Inter scored that Piccoli had where he kind of fired it, fortunately, right at Sommer, but Sommer made a great reaction save. Almost like obviously he read the play, right? He knew where he wanted to place that ball. He was going to go across his body to try to put it far post. And Sommer coming up big again. I think, listen, me and Alessandro talk about him all the time and how crucial of a goalkeeper he is and how great he is with his timely saves. Obviously, as an outsider, and I mean, no offense to Lazio, but you see their woes with Provedel this year at least.
Oh yeah.
What do you feel about Jan Sommer?
He's just steady. You need that calming presence week in and week out. And I think he's been that for what, 3 years now? How long have you guys had him? 2.5
This is
years?
Second year.
Second year.
Okay. 1.5 years, I guess. 2 years, pretty much.
He's been that his whole career. I mean, maybe the reflexes aren't 100% what they used to be, or the agility isn't 100% what it used to be, but it doesn't matter. Like you said, positionally, he's always in the right spot. He's a calming influence. It's ridiculously important. I mean, the difference between a top five goalkeeper in the league and not could be the difference in the Scudetto. Let's just be honest. So I think the teams that are in it right now currently have gotten pretty outstanding goalkeeping for the better part of the year, right? That's Inter, that's Napoli. For say what you want, Medet's been very good. I know Napoli fans don't seem to like him. He's been really good. I think Di Gregorio has been good. He saved Juve from worse performances, worse results. And not that they're in the Scudetto race, but Bologna's gotten great goalkeeping for the past 3 or 4 years. So it definitely makes a difference, because then you look at a team like Lazio, a team like, I don't want to say Fiorentina. I think De Gea has been pretty good. But
yeah,
that second tier of goalkeepers, it can hold you back. And Inter has been very fortunate for the past 20 years in the goalkeeping department. I mean, I don't really have another way to put it. And Sommer's just that next guy up. And I don't know how much longer he has, but he's done everything you could ask.
I'm glad you mentioned the last 20 years that we've been very fortunate in the goalkeeping department. Cause yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you go from Toldo to Julio Cesar, then to Handanovic, Onana for the 1 year. And now, you know, we see what we have with Sommer. We have been very fortunate. I think Interisti don't realize how spoiled we are with what we've been able to have and go, and you could even go for one step further. You could even go to Paluca, Zegna, you know, or Zenga. I always do the suits and then the goalie, but yeah, he's just been another calming presence. Like you said, a guy that I love. I went as so far to say that I thought that he would be the best goalkeeper last year. Now it did help that he had the best defense. I'm not going to like discredit that. But he was huge for us. I think he's very good with the reflexes. And what he lacks in height, he does make up for with that quickness in goal. So,
no, and that stop was, I mean, the reason you started the conversation, that save was huge. Keeping them off the score sheet in the first half, I feel like, changed that entire game.
Oh, 100%. Like, a 2-0 lead is obviously different than a 1-1 game, right? So I'm really happy with the way things actually played out in that first half, of course. And I remember, you know, I was texting some of my friends and I said, you know, I just hope we don't let one up quick in the start of the second half. And lo and behold, there we are. I believe it was Augello with the cross that came in who had been, I mean, he, whipping them in, really. I don't know why Cagliari doesn't just play through him the entire time. But that ball came right in. Piccoli is able, I don't know. Goal.
You just knew he was going to score.
It felt like it. Like he looked like totally committed and focused on getting a goal at least today. And somehow, you know, I don't know who to put the blame on really, but like the defense is caught sleeping and Piccoli finds space, heads it in there beautifully. I mean, it's great when you drive it in low and it's able to bounce in the corner. That always makes it hard for a goalkeeper. But Sommer was, a little far away from it. And I think even if he did dive, there was no chance of him getting to that ball. It was just perfectly placed.
Yep.
And right back into the game is Cagliari there with a 2-1, making a 2-1 there.
Yeah, like I said, I just feel like they looked a lot better than the score line indicated. And that's the cause for concern for me. You mentioned it against Parma. I mean, the whole time I'm watching the game, I just kept thinking Inter cannot go into the game against Bayern with this mentality, with this style of play, with this attitude, because a better team is really going to punish you. So hopefully that can be corrected in 3 days' time.
Yeah, it has been a little concerning because it feels like lately, defensively, we've had more of those moments when we're caught sleeping and not being able to just finish out a game for 90 minutes. And, you know, like, yeah, it may be like a couple of minutes here, a span of 15 minutes there. But if you switch off at any point, it doesn't matter who you're playing against, you will get burned.
Right.
So, like, you look at the Parma game, obviously the game with Bayern. Fortunate to get the winner late, but we let them right in like the 83rd, 84th minute, whatever it was. You know, and that's like, you kind of just like drop your shoulders like, oh, here we go again, doing the same shit. But yeah, this time a good reaction, just like we did against Bayern, though, to be fair. Coming right back a few minutes later, and Jan Bisek with an absolute screamer of a head. One of my friends, you know, Tony Mitch, he said it's about time he's used that height to his advantage, and I couldn't agree more. Like, but you are an absolute giant of a person. Yep. You should be leaping over everyone, no question about it, winning every header. Like, I think back to, like, Ivan Cordoba, right? 5'9", maybe at best, and that guy won. Yeah, like, he got up to every header. He did not lose a header that he went up for. You should be doing that with your 6'4", 6'5" frame, right? No question. So no, I'm glad he was able.
No. That's so well put, because, you know, you watch enough football like we do. You see other teams, and like Virgil van Dijk, same height. This guy is at the end of every fucking corner that Liverpool take. Rudiger for Real Madrid, at the end of every corner. I'm not saying he should be a 5, 6, 7 goal scorer. That's not realistic. It's not his job. But create some chaos in the box. You can create an awful lot of opportunity just by being there. And it's good to see. Inter gets a lot of corners, dude. They're a team that attacks from those wings. They spam a lot of crosses in there. I couldn't agree with you more. He could be doing a lot better. Or Tony. Good point, Tony.
Yeah, no, great. Great shot by Tony on that one. But yeah, finally was able to use it. That header was absolutely for, I don't think any goalkeeper is making that save with how powerful that one was. And basically secures us the win with that. You know, his second goal in the league. Happy for him. He has been going through a bit of a rough stretch, not just with the offensive prowess, but even defensively. He's kind of been all over the place. Myself, you know, along with other Interisti, we're kind of calling for him to be benched and allowing, you know, Pavard to continue to play. But obviously you see what Inzaghi's plan is with the game on Wednesday. He wants to make sure that he has a healthy Pavard. You know, he rested Bastoni for the large portion of the game, and he was able to pull out Lautaro and Di Marco, you know, with about 30 minutes left or more in Di Marco's case, to allow them rest and to be able to be, you know, in the best position to hopefully see out this tie with Bayern. But I gotta ask, like, let's look ahead now. You know, like, that is pretty much the game. There's not really much else to really talk about.
Had that other chance that what's his name saved off the line, De Vrij, right?
Yeah, De Vrij was able to get onto that one, and yeah, like that's pretty much how it ends, though, with a 3-1 win. We were able to move on and now look ahead to this Bayern game. Obviously, for Italian clubs, it hasn't been the greatest, you know. I mean, turnout in Europe. I mean, even your poor Lazio. I was kind of surprised with how that game was played with Bodø/Glimt. But man, like, if there's any hope, right? It's with Inter in this Bayern tie. You know, hopefully we're able to see it through. Did you happen to watch the first game? Or
unfortunately, I was locked in the conference room. I was traveling for work. I caught the highlights. Didn't catch the game from start to finish.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't too crazy exciting. Besides, obviously, the two goals that Inter scored. But you know, now we have the chance to see out the tie at home. And even if they do equalize, I feel actually better that we're playing at the San Siro, that we would be able to, you know, hopefully just, you know, if it goes to extra time or even penalties, be able to seal it. But I think with the way that we do show up in these big matches against the teams that are, you know, considered better than us or favored over us, we seem to rise to that occasion, whether it's the Man City this year in the Champions League, Arsenal, and now, you know, Bayern Munich. I think that I would feel pretty comfortable that we would be able to at least see out this tie, even if it ends 0-0, right? Like, yeah, I feel pretty good.
Listen, having a lead is always good. Having a lead and coming home is better.
Yep.
Need a goal. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I don't think you keep Bayern off the score sheet for 90. I mean, it's certainly possible. But the way they're able to bring pressure, the way they're able to do it for a full 90, you know, it's actually pretty impressive. So I don't think the game plan can be play the last 45 minutes that the way Inter has the last three games. But, you know, an early goal, feeding off that crowd, getting the momentum, to me, is the key to this game. You know, if Bayern comes out and scores a goal in the first 20, 25 minutes, then you start to panic just a little bit.
100%. Like, that would be my one fear, that if we let one up early, does that give them the confidence to go and grab another? And then, you know, now we're chasing the game. Yeah. I hope that's obviously not the case. But Bayern, you know, they are riddled with injuries. Yep. You know, missing a guy like Musiala. I don't know if Neuer is going to be back for this one. I know Musiala is going to miss it. But, you know, he is a key component in their going forward and being able to create in the offensive third. I think that he pulls defenders towards him when he has the ball at his feet, and then allows Kane to find those pockets of space to be able to get free, and either on the end of a cross or a ball played right to his feet where he's able to put it on goal. And listen, we were fortunate with the first game that he hit that post.
Yeah.
You know, he had the open chance, and I think if you give him that opportunity again, he's burying it. Like, you have to be able to keep an eye on Harry Kane. As much as we like to make fun of the English and make fun of him for being trophyless, he is still a world-class finisher. He's a phenomenal striker, and I think anybody would take him on their team without a question.
Couldn't agree with you more. I don't think that any of him or his team's failures are necessarily on him. The other thing I wonder, like, is, you know, company as the coach. Does he have what it takes to get this done? I don't know. I hope not. I'm certainly not rooting for it. Now, the thing I'm excited about, hopeful for, Lautaro has a goal, in three straight games now? I think that's very important. And he showed up last game, you know, last tie against Bayern. That's really big. That's what you need, because any loss that Inter has had in this competition over the last 2 years, it's because we haven't gotten anything out of Lautaro and Thuram. And Thuram, I'm worried about. I kind of said that when we started the show. We're going to need something out of him at some point. You just do. So if those two guys are going to come in, be energetic, get chances, somebody puts in a goal, the sky's the limit. But if we're going to get a zero out of that striking duo, you know, it's not going to be an easy task.
That's actually a great point too, obviously, with the two of them. Like, we kind of go as they go, and if they aren't, you know, on the score sheet or even having an assist, like, it doesn't even have to be a goal themselves, but they are crucial to Inter success and crucial to them being able to move on in this tie. And back to Vincent Kompany, I don't know if he is able to rise to this occasion. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people were shocked when he was given this opportunity to take over at Bayern Munich. It's a very unconventional hiring by them, for sure. They normally go with someone with a little bit of a pedigree, more of a track record at winning trophies at some level. You know, even like, you know, with Nagelsmann and you know, I mean, at least even though he didn't have a crazy amount of success, he obviously was able to elevate Hoffenheim to the way that they were. And it's kind of crazy that they went with him, but I'm hoping that Inzaghi has the same type of, you know, performance as a manager that he did in the first leg. And then if you get another captain's performance from Lautaro the way he played in the first leg, I mean, that would be absolutely huge. He is really what I would want my captain to play like. He fights for every ball. He tracks back. He plays for the team. Maybe today he was a little selfish in one instance, but you know what? I want that from a striker. You have to have that bit of a killer instinct to want the goals. If he's laying it off too much, I think I'd be a little bit more concerned that he just doesn't have the confidence to take the shot himself. But Yeah, I think.
No, and this is, I mean, as much of a final as any other opponent you'll face this year, right? I think it's an interesting Champions League year. It's an interesting just all around season in Europe, right? There's teams that are underperforming, teams that are overperforming. I don't know that this was the final eight I expected, but here we are. You have to at some point draw on that experience. You know, the loss against Man City, pretty much perfectly played. I mean, I'm not going to rehash, you know, for the sake of rehashing it, but pretty much perfectly played. Maybe an unlucky loss. You give up a goal, happens. You have to draw on the mistakes that were made last year against Atleti. And then you have to kind of say, okay, what do we need to do to avoid a 45-minute lapse, a 60-minute lapse, whatever it is? How do we set this team up for success, knowing that, hey, guess what, man? Everybody's tired of shit. People are injured. We've played a lot of games. But, man, there's, I don't know, four games between now and potentially winning a trophy. So you've got the lead. You almost can't play like it. I hope he doesn't come out defensive and play that way, because
yeah, I hope
you
so
can't
too.
Sit back and let Bayern have the ball for 90 minutes. It's just not going to work. You have to draw on that experience. And I think the players, you know, it's essentially the same squad. So I'm hopeful, like you said, but the job is not done.
That's exactly what I hope for as well. Like if we come out defensively, I think we're setting ourselves up for failure. We have the type of players who can be able to assist you defensively, especially in the midfield, you know, Barella and Hakan, and even Mickey for the things I don't like about him. Their work rate defensively is awesome.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, you don't have to play just dropping back or sitting 10 behind the ball to be able to win against a team like Bayern. I think that we've seen that even with the way they're forming the league, even though they are, you know, in first place, they are vulnerable at the back, and yep, they do allow themselves, you know, opportunity to be taken advantage of on the counter. I think if we do what Conceição does to Inter when we play, like if we sit back a little bit, not crazily, but then focus on hitting them on the counter and opening it up a little bit more, the play, we can get, you know, one or two quick goals that way and kind of, you know, bury this tie. And even though we talked about, you know, Thuram and Lautaro, let's talk about that midfield and those three guys. Specifically, you know, the two main ones in Barella and Hakan. We saw how they played today. I thought Barella had a great game. Hakan was a little iffy with his passing, you know, having you know, some balls that he played a little too hard, whether it be to Lautaro or Arnautovic. But so, like, obviously on the outside perspective, like, what do you see when you watch those two guys play, and what could they bring, you know, hopefully to this tie on Wednesday?
Yeah, Barella is the difference maker. He's the X factor. He's a guy, every time I come on the show, I feel like I'm hard on him. And I'm not always hard on him because of his performances. I'm hard on him because with the talent and understanding of the game that he has, I expect more. He is far and away the best midfielder this team has, probably the best midfielder in Italy, probably the best Italian midfielder. We can say it every which way. He does literally everything. He wants the ball. And if he is dictating the game the way that he can, he's unplayable. The last three or four weeks, he's been a superstar. So if we get more of that, I'm not worried at all. Hakan's been an uneven season for him, right? He's resurrected his career over the past 3 years. So, you know, listen, when the chips are down, I'm hopeful that he comes to do what he needs to do. He's been injured. He's been tired. He's been uninterested. I don't necessarily have the answer for why the consistency isn't there game in and game out. But another guy, when he's on his day, on his game, he's pretty much unplayable. So you're going to need both of these guys at 100%, because like you mentioned, Bayern's midfield is just stacked. They're good. They are young. They're fast. So, you know, you're going to need to do a lot of work without the ball this game. I just don't think there's any other way around it. But if they set up correctly and just weather the storm for probably the first 20 minutes and could be the guys, the catalyst that kind of start that counterattack, win those balls defensively, I think it's probably, the odds are okay. You know, I'm with you. There's reason for optimism.
Speaking of the odds, Do you happen to know what the odds are for Inter to come out of this tie
Give me a second. If I had to guess, I would imagine Bayern's probably a favorite in the game,
okay,
just because they're down and like the odds will go that way. The team that needs the win always kind of comes in as a pretty big favorite.
But yep.
Give me a second.
I'm going to guess. Inter are plus 120.
Inter plus 165. Bayern plus 150.
Wow, really?
Yep. So let's see. To advance, Inter's minus 300. And Bayern's plus 210. So heavy favorites to advance, which I like.
Yeah, I do like that too. Makes me feel a little bit better. I don't want to just get to the semis, of course. And right now, with all intents and purposes, it looks like we're going to be playing Barcelona in the semifinals. But this game, obviously, we got 90 minutes ahead of us. We do have to be able to come out and come out on top against these Bavarians. But I'm feeling pretty good about it, honestly. Now, we've kind of talked about the attacking, the midfield. Let's talk about that back line, and specifically, arguably, the best defender right now in the world, Alessandro Bastoni. No. He is considered the most valuable defender in the world right now, according to Transfer Market. But I think that this season, specifically, he's really elevated his game defensively, along with his passing ability, his long ball playing, and really just his overall play on the ball. What could you tell me? Like, what do you think about Basto?
Yeah. Stay healthy. It's pretty much the only thing I could say.
Fair.
Honestly, he's lived up to the hype, which is good to see, because you and I know we follow this league. We follow young Italians forever and ever and ever, and everybody that's hyped up always seems to fall flat on their face, for the past, 20, 25 years. He is everything that's been advertised, and it's great to see. I just, you kind of can't teach the instincts, right? That's what's really impressive. And for somebody to be that big and that athletic and like that skilled, not even athletic, obviously every person on the pitch is athletic, but to be that skilled when you're that big, that's really kind of what sets him apart for me.
Yeah. I mean, you look at him and you think like he's going to be like a long, lanky, awkward defender. Yeah. And
Peter
that is
Crouch, but playing defense. That's exactly what I think of, because that's what he looks like.
And it's not even the case. It's crazy just how good he is technically. He's a very cerebral player too. I think, a lot of times when you think a typical defender would try to outmuscle someone, he kind of knows how to use his body to kind of either get in the way or, kind of guide someone out of position. He may not be able to do it with an imposing defensive presence, but he does do it in a smart way, which I think is really underrated and undervalued in his game. And I think that he also will play a huge part for us. I mean, it's no surprise, right, that the main players are your main players and you want them to be. Yep. For a big game like this. But I think that he would be a huge role in deciding on how this matchup plays out. And I hope that you and I are both right and that the odds makers are right with this. So
they're right more often than they're wrong, dude. I promise you that.
Very true, yeah. And whenever I try to think I know better than them, it usually blows up in my face royally. So, but so what would you give me as your prediction for the match against Bayern? Like, how do you think that that's going to end up?
I could see a 1-1. I like I said, I really would be shocked if Bayern don't get on the score sheet. For how good Inter is, just defense has been susceptible. Bayern's that good. They score. They pressure you for a full 90 if you let them. But like I said, Inter's been here before. They have to lean on the experience. They have to lean on the form that we have right now with goal scoring. Have to get on the score sheet. I would love for an outright win. I think that'd be great, because, a decisive victory catapults you, to the next level in the Champions League, right? Like, you're going in and facing Barcelona, you're not going to worry about what they did, right? You're going to say, hey, we just took care of Bayern and we took care of them handily. So a win would be very, very meaningful. but the draw will do it. That's really all you can ask for coming back home.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great prediction. That's probably what I would go with too, to be quite honest. I mean, obviously, I would prefer winning the game, whether it's 1-0, 2-1, whatever it may be. But a 1-1 seems pretty realistic. I think it's going to be hard, like you said, to keep Bayern off the score sheet. You know, maybe if Hakan is able to pocket Kimmich again, maybe it would be a little bit easier to keep them off the score sheet. He did great in the first leg. But, you know, they did get that one goal late there from Thomas Müller because, you know, we were caught sleeping on the back post and left them alone. So if we could stay sharp and focused, we do come out with the win. But I think more likely they will find one somehow. And we just have to make sure we equalize at minimum, just so we don't have to even bother with, you know, extra time. And with the way this Scudetto race is coming down, every minute counts, really. Mm-hmm. Every extra, you know, saving your players an extra 30 minutes in fatigue would go a long way. So hopefully we're able to get this tied up, wrapped up in 90 minutes.
I hope so.
Let's go on with now, like, how the Scudetto race is turning out. It's a little bit more heated and a little tighter than I would like it to be. Definitely tighter than I thought it would be. I thought we would have been running away with the league once again. What's your take on it? How do you even see it playing out? And you know what? Give me your prediction for the top four
this season. Inter is very, like, it probably doesn't seem like it to you guys. And I feel like another thing I come on the show and say every single time, be incredibly grateful and appreciative of how good this team is. Don't take it for granted. You've put together an incredible season with a focus on, you know, three different tournaments. You know, first place with a lot of games under your belt is pretty pretty impressive at this point. But you have to give Napoli credit. They have a roster that I just personally don't think is all that good. And not that it's not good. I think their starting 11 is good. They have no depth. They really don't. So the fact that they've only lost four games, and one of those I think was the first week of the year, and two of them might have been in the first month of the year, they've kind of caught fire. So you have to give them a lot of credit. Conte obviously does what he does. But that's a team that has no secondary scoring. They sold their most dynamic player in January, didn't replace him. You know, they're an injury away from probably collapsing altogether. The fact that we're in match day 32 and they're what, potentially only 4 points back, right? With a win, I think they're
well, with a win, it'd be 3 points.
3 points back.
Yeah.
Not much more can be said about them. I don't know if they have what it takes to get themselves over the line. I will say it does seem like they have the easiest schedule for the rest of the year. So, yeah. I mean, that means they've taken care of the hard part of their schedule. Good on them. Like I said, they've been very, very impressive. But there's no really easy out in Serie A. We know that. Week in and week out, anything can happen. So I see a lot of Napoli fans counting their chickens. I wouldn't necessarily do that, but the schedule definitely favors them. And Atalanta, they're just in free fall. I don't have any other way to put it. They have disappointed me week in and week out since the start of the new year. You know, because I think they're just a fun story to root for, whether you like the team or not, whether you like Gasperini or not. I know a lot of people hate him. It's good for the league. It just is, right? Like, I don't care what anybody says. Obviously, everybody has their favorite teams. If you're listening to this, you're an Inter fan. I understand that. As an outsider, it's great to see a team like Atalanta be in the mix, but they've been out of the mix for probably the last 4 or 5 weeks. So, they now are in an absolute dogfight to stay in the top four. And if they don't start picking up results, like, they need to win a couple games. They need to win them pretty quickly because this team is spiraling. So would not shock me to see them fall out of it. I hate that Juve picked up a coach that seems to be like a good short-term stopgap. So would not shock me for Juve to slide into the top four. But it's tough because, you know, Lazio is hit a really shit run of form. Roma's on fire. But do they have enough to make up, you know, the 4, 5, 6 points that they're going to need to make up? They have a brutal schedule going forward. Tough for me to say. I think Bologna has done exceptionally well. You know me, I'm not a Vincenzo Italiano fanboy, but you have to give him credit. He's done an outstanding job. You and I have led the Orsolini train from day one. This man has kept that team relevant for 3 years. But they've seen a huge step forward from some of their guys. And Doi, I know you're a big fan of him. He's been outstanding this year. He's taken that step that he needed to take. Castro, I don't think I expected to see a 19-year-old kid come in, start from week one and just be a menace and really make an impact. So again, Bologna, great story. Is it necessarily good if they finish top four in a Champions League spot? I mean, they finished the Champions League with like 1 point this year. So I don't necessarily know that that's what we need to see. Gun to my head, I think, you know, Juve are in that top four. I'd say Atalanta probably still keep that spot, but they don't win one of their next two games. You know, Roma, Bologna slide right in there. Sorry, that was a lot of rambling. I hope it made sense.
That was awesome. And it just, of course, like I was getting a call and it was coming through my headphones. So I had to like mute that before I could keep talking.
And Juve scored like 2 minutes into the game right now. So they're technically in third place.
I mean, they are playing Lecce, so they better, you know, take care of them. But that's I think that's a great, honestly, breakdown of how this top four race could potentially play out. Like, really, like, I don't know what more I could add to it. I think the Orsolini and Ndoye fanboy in me wants Bologna to make it. I do get it. Yes, like, they did only have 1 point. Not a great look for Serie A. I think, you know, a lot of people were knocking Italiano for that. I will give Italiano a little bit credit that he is better this year defensively than he was in previous years, which was something I would love to make fun of him for, which is how insane he was with his tactics.
But no, and they're only giving up like a goal a game. I mean, you can't really ask for much more.
No, you certainly can't. And, you know, especially like if you look at their, like, I think a big thing that's actually going to hold him back is Skorupski. I don't think that he's the strongest goalkeeper.
The last 2 years, he's been really good. This year, not so much.
Yeah, and even those 2 years, like, I had my instances where I just didn't like certain assets. Like, he did have more than one howler in his game. But, yeah, he was solid on the stuff that you want him, you know, the saves that you expect him to make and stuff. So, and even he could come out with some worldies, but I think that if they were maybe had a bit of an upgrade in the goalkeeping position, that would actually bode well for them. But again, you know, hats off to Italiano and what he's been able to get out of a team that was essentially gutted, really, you know, coming into the season, and to have them in the position that he is now, and really with a better record than what Thiago Motta had last season. That's a testament to him and his managing. So yeah, got to give him credit. Yeah, kind of hope that it is them. In a perfect world, Lazio would, you know, get their shit together, sneak in, and Tudor would collapse. But I don't see Juve doing that, unfortunately. I think they will hang on to the four. Honestly, I think that fourth spot will come down to Atalanta and Juve, really. Yeah. I think Bologna has a better case, even though they do have a game against Inter. They weren't easy the first time we played them either. And, you know, we could be caught, you know, in one of those awkward post Bayern highs, and now, you know, we may struggle to get all 3 points against them. I hope not for our sake, but who knows? Like you said, no team in the Serie A is easy. I will never say that all this, like, you could say that we should win, but I won't say it's a guarantee to win, you know, certain games. So
unless you're playing Monza. You know, that's the only team
is a slam dunk. Yes.
The two crazy stats that I'm looking at right now. Number one, Bologna has only lost four games.
Yeah.
That's nuts. In 31 games, they've only lost four times. So credit to them. But I'm looking at Atalanta. They've only conceded 30 goals in 31 games. So that's level with Juve. That's level with Inter. That's five more than Napoli. They've scored 15 more goals than Juve and Napoli. Like, Atalanta really should be higher in the table.
Yeah.
And they had those couple games, that stretch of 4 or 5 weeks, 0-0 draws. You know, they lost like a really bad game to Torino or somebody like that. Like, if they had gotten their shit together and gotten some timely goals in those games, they're fighting it out with you for the Scudetto, and Napoli's left 100%. Behind. So it's really crazy.
Yeah, I mean, in the preseason, I picked them to finish second just because I love the signings they made. I thought that with the core of players that they had, that they should easily finish at worst three, but I thought they would be second. You know, and to see the way that they're kind of faltering now, I'll never say it's because they don't have the strike power, because I think, listen, no offense to Carlo, but to think that Retegui was a downgrade from Scamacca to me was insane. I knew that was going to be an upgrade on especially in terms of finishing and his
instincts.
His redefining space and just knowing where to be on the end of crosses and stuff. No brainer. And Lookman, like the player that Ademola Lookman is, I mean, that guy's is insanely good. And I think that we as fans don't appreciate him enough for the work that he does do with them. And it's going to be a really sad day because I think he is going to leave after this year.
He looks uninterested. You know, he looks like he doesn't want to be there.
100%. Like the relationship with Gasperini is totally ruined. So I think he'll be on his way out there. But I expected better as well. And I thought that with what they had, and you know how I feel about Lazar Samardžić. I know you're not his biggest fan. But I thought that he would have a bigger impact. Obviously, he isn't, so I'll take the L on that one. But, expected better things from Atalanta for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would say they're the deepest team also after Inter. They're a team that has 3, 4, 5 guys on a bench that could start.
Yep.
You can't say that about very many Serie A teams. You just can't.
I don't think you could say it for any other Serie A teams except Inter and Atalanta personally. So
agree. Absolutely
I would
agree.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it'll definitely be interesting to see how this season plays out. One thing I did forget to mention that I did want to mention about Marko Arnautović, 4 goals in his last 5 league matches for Inter.
There you go.
So,
All right, next time he plays, bet him to score a goal.
Bet him. Anytime goal scorer. Let's put it on. We're guys.
Dude,
as long as he starts.
I'm watching that game, and all I kept thinking was, I wish Lazio had a guy like Piccoli. Like, and that's insane to say because he's a guy that just – you get no love, you know, gets no love. He's been in the league for how many years now? Just
on
relegation team to relegation
Atalanta.
Team. Yeah. Like Lazio could use a guy like that.
Lazio could definitely, honestly, that would be a guy that I think would be a huge get for you guys. Like he works hard. He is pacey. Like there was one instance where he dribbled past Barella and he left him in the dust. And Barella's not the quickest, but he's also not the slowest. Like, and he just made him look like he was kind of like running in sludge. I do appreciate Roberto Piccoli. I don't know why he doesn't get the love in Serie A and even in from Atalanta itself. Like imagine him backing up Retegui. I think that might have actually helped them when he got his little knock that he was out for 2-3 games.
Yeah.
You know, to have a guy like Piccoli coming in and being able to step right into the starting 11. But yeah, that's listen, I hope that for your guys' sake that you spend a little money this offseason. I know that's not Lotito's MO, but a goalkeeper, a striker, and I would say maybe another center back.
My biggest gripe is what you just said. We had a period where we had 3 of the best players in the league in Ciro Immobile, Milinkovic-Savic, Luis Alberto, and you just never built around it. The 3 of them took us as far as they could, but there was just nothing else to reinforce that core. And I don't know. I mean, making Champions League last year, all the money that we made it to the second round. You get a win against Bayern in the knockouts. Wasn't necessarily reinvested. So I don't have high hopes for this year. They're certainly going to need a top 5, top 6 finish, but sucks.
Well, that would
take it for granted, Inter fans. You might have money troubles, but you don't have lots of your money troubles.
And I think we do take it for granted. And me and Alessandro have talked about it. Like, and I even see Nazario saying on Twitter, like, you know, a lot of our fan base thinks that we have to go 38-0-0. Like that you're not able to drop a game here or there or drop one. You're not going to be perfect all season. No team is going to be perfect all season. Even the Invincibles, like look at Bayer Leverkusen, right? All they did was win the league. They won the Bundesliga. They lost. They got smoked by Atalanta in the Europa League final. And they lost the German Cup.
Yeah.
But regardless, right? Like you're not going to go 38-0. And even if you do have, like, there are, they still dropped 4 or 5 games in ties. And if they, I mean, they didn't have, they also had the greatest luck where they would score these ridiculous, like 94th, 97th minute winners, like insane luck. Like, don't take it for, and now they're back down in second or third, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're third now in the Bundesliga, but like, it could easily be forgotten. Right, like, so yeah, we shouldn't
they had
be
a
enjoying
chance to make up 2 points today. Bayern Munich drew, right, which I think is not unexpected. They're looking ahead to the game against Inter, but
yep.
So did Leverkusen at home. So the league is probably over.
Which we'll finally get Harry Kane his first trophy. There you go. Lucky him. But yeah, we should be enjoying this time, enjoying these moments. Like, we do. Do we not remember the banter era? This is not even close to that. If we drop points here and there, you know, like, yes, we probably should have won the title when Milan won it. I'll argue with that too. Like, I won't argue against that. Like, yeah, that was more of a letdown on us more so than Milan going out and winning it. But we got that second star, which I think is huge for us. And now let's go out and get the 21st one. So, you know, Juventini can't keep saying like, oh, you got, you know, you don't really have it 20, you got 19. Well, now, you know, you can shut up. We still get the second star if that's how you want to play it. But yeah, we kind of were all over the place today. I'm glad. Like, you know, that wasn't much to say about the game itself.
No.
You know, and I hope people enjoy this episode. You know, it's a bit of a different take. And I wanted to try something different today. One, because we had Nick here, you know, who I like his perspective on not just Inter, but, you know, the rest of the league as well. But also, like, I didn't want to just analyze the game for an hour and really not, like, there wasn't much to really dive into. So I hope you guys appreciate this one. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you nailed it, right? It's, like I said, the most impressive performance. Everything that you needed to do was done. Everybody did their job. Nobody got injured. Or, well, I shouldn't say that. Zaleski, I don't know if he is.
Yeah, I don't know if that was serious or just like, just more precautionary, but hopefully we'll find out here.
Take it. It's 3 points. It's a good result at home. Carlos Augusto, we didn't talk about him. I thought he had a pretty good game.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that because, yes, we didn't. I thought he did have a really good game. Again, he's an unsung hero for this team.
He's got a ton of hair now.
Ton of hair. I need to go to his Turkish, spot myself. So, he's a big fan of his. And I've said it before, I didn't think that he would be anything special when we got him from Monza. And he's turning out to be a guy who not only plays well, but also pushes Di Marco to play well, which I think is huge because I think, you know, he could easily take his spot if Di Marco has like a bad run of form. Yep. But yeah, that's, I mean, listen, everybody, that is pretty much it for this episode. Nick, thank you so much for filling in for Ale. Always welcome, man. You're like the unofficial third co-host of the Interviews podcast. Like,
it's an honor, brother. I appreciate it. Like I said, you guys, you know, I try to say it every time, you know, you almost, I'm rooting with you guys, you know, like, cause you're friends, you know, I have no animosity towards Inter. Obviously I love the league. Obviously I root for every Italian team in Europe. I'm one of the rare people. Like, I don't really, if it's Roma, it's Roma. I don't care. Like, I want the league to do well. But the community that you all have built, you know, the engagement, the interaction that you get, every Inter fan that I have the pleasure of being a mutual with or interacting with or being a friend with, you know, I'm blessed. It's a fun fan base. You guys have built a great thing here, and I'm happy to just be a small part of it. So thank you for having me on. And if you're listening, thank you for listening to my voice for the past 50 minutes.
Well, I appreciate it, man. It means a lot. I'm going to obviously close this out the way Alessandro does, in the words of the great Roberto Scarpini. Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.